Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
You see, folks, we can bring up stuff that may be totally irrelevant, but just think where we'd be, especially those of us who were 2 or 3 years older, without the compact disc and the compact cassette. Randall, you want to pursue where you're taking us, and then we'll hear again from Trey.
That's exactly where we should pick up, is that we've got a really interesting introduction to a really interesting place, and I'd just like to hear more about some of the things that you've experienced there, Trey, and then maybe get into some ideas about how you might explain some of it.
Oh, sure, absolutely. We have all of these very strange things going on. We're intrigued by this area, and we decided that it certainly is worth further study. Like a lot of things, it's very hard to get people together into deconflict schedules. So it wasn't until February of 2017 that we were able to return to the meadow. Since we had the strange phenomena with the individual appearing to turn into a sphere of energy, and then the missing time, we decided that this meadow, this field, should be the focus of our research. That seems to be where things are happening. February 2017, we ended up in a very cold winter type of expedition, not much vegetation. The reason I'm telling you this is it does come into play later on. Very remote and a somewhat desolate type of environment right there in the middle of the wintertime. We decided to do the same kind of tactics that we used last time, except we weren't going to send an individual out on his own after the missing time and sphere of energy situations happening to a lone individual. We changed our protocols a little bit to where nobody would be by themselves. That was really more of a safety thing, that if something bad did happen to them or they had some sort of medical issue, that there would be somebody there with them. So but we decided to put several teams out into the field, once again, equipped with our FLIR units. And this time we had several researchers visiting us from the Carolinas. Had come down to research with us. And we placed them and their FLIR units out in the field. We had three teams. And we were going to have a three-man team, once again, run across the top of the ridge, drop down into the west end of the meadow, and work their way east. So as the team was moving across the top of the ridge, and I was on that team, one of our team members noticed on his FLIR unit, down right at the edge of the meadow, three human-sized heat signatures. Vertical, about 6 foot tall, about 18 inches wide, that melded into one heat signature. So this was our first encounter with some of these energy entities, and I'm just going to use that as a label, these strange anomalous heat signatures. So that certainly got our interest. We dropped down in the meadow and started working our way east, and we received a call on the radio that one of the field teams, which consisted of several members from the Carolinas, were noticing on their FLIR these boxes or cubes forming. By the time he could hit record, these cubes had started to dissipate, but he was able to make a sketch of it. And so he described them as boxes or cubes that were about 10 meters by 6 by 6 meters. So, these large boxes. And while he was recording that, one of the team members turned to her right, and she said, "Who or what is that?" And she was able to capture this on videos of two more heat signatures watching what they were doing from a copse of trees about 30 meters away. And these, once again, were upright heat signatures. And in the book, and I'm not sure which page on your copy of it, as I have a photograph of that FLIR footage showing these two anomalies. So by the time our team got over there, these boxes had dissipated. And we stood there and discussed what we were going to do next. And we thought it would be interesting to dispatch a three-man team over to where these cubes or boxes were. And this is where the vegetation comes in. It's important to realize that this is in the wintertime in a high mountain meadow. No vegetation. Everything is dead. There's nothing to mask or hide your heat signature from this very sophisticated equipment that we were using. So our team approached this area where this cube was, and much to our surprise, they disappeared from the FLIR. They just weren't there anymore. And it was so shocking and so surprising that one of the Carolina researchers who had many, 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 many years of operating FLIR-type equipment in the woods said, "Did they just disappear?" And it was that startling. We were able to capture that on video. And to my knowledge, that's the only video that exists that shows people approaching what might be a portal, and that's just another label, but approaching some sort of anomaly and disappearing from the field of view, be it visually, by light, or by heat, in this case, disappearing heat-wise. You can't hide from a FLIR unit. You know, you've seen military footage of operations in Afghanistan and Iraq. You've seen police footage of fleeing criminals where the FLIR technology is so accurate and so unforgiving that you cannot escape it. But somehow, this team was able to escape the peering eyes of this sensitive heat-seeking equipment.
Interesting. I mean, it's, to me, I mean, the obvious sort of explanation for me, if we're starting with something that would be more or less within our norms, would be some kind of a screen that would be able to shield your heat signature. And we know the military's got that sort of stuff. And a bunch of other really strange stuff, like even they're working on holographic-type screens and stuff now, too, to camouflage machinery. But you have experience in the military.
Yes.
So, I mean, how do we know this isn't some kind of weird psyops operation with some kind of high-tech stuff, and they're just out there messing with you guys?
Well, when our team approached this area and they disappeared off, you know, off of our equipment, off of the FLIR unit, is they were there. I mean, our team was actually in the area, and they witnessed nothing extremely unusual from their perspective. From their perspective, they said that when they approached this area, it just became very dense and very dark. They said it was like a very black curtain was around them. But they, you know, they didn't get sick, you know, they weren't dizzy, you know, nothing like that. And when they approached, went into this area where this anomaly was, is they proceeded to this area unencumbered. You know, they didn't run into any briars or brambles or vines or anything like that.
Were they able to see you back looking in your direction?
No, it was pitch black, and they were not focusing on us with night vision or FLIR. They were focusing on, you know, their mission, which was approaching the anomaly. So they weren't looking back at us.
Oh, okay. Because then you would be able to tell if they, you know, you had lost.
Right.
You know what I'm saying, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And then when they turned around to come back out, they did encounter briars and brambles and vines that they didn't encounter when going in. So it's almost like they stepped into another realm or another existence where these things weren't present. But when it dissipated and they moved out of it, then they started encountering, you know, the brambles and the briars, et cetera, et cetera. So it's like the environment changed somehow or was altered somehow.
Okay, so listeners, this could be for some of them just going like, okay, this is just way out there. That just can't happen. But that same sort of thing happened to me and three of my friends when we were just young, just sort of preteens out in British Columbia, Canada. I had a very similar experience to exactly that, but it happened to three of us at the same time, and it was still daytime. So strange things happen in the world, and this to me is really interesting to hear this account. So carry on.
Before we carry on, we've got more to come with
Trey, Gene, and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
Hey, everybody. If you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with the high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you, too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
The following is a paid announcement. The advertiser was paid a marketing fee for a digital campaign. Please make sure to review our disclaimer on our report page.
The new year is here, and the time is now to capitalize on the gold stocks boom in the U.S. markets. More stimulus and higher inflation could potentially drive gold prices to record highs in 2021. And with gold exploration stocks poised to skyrocket in the coming months, you have an opportunity to position your trades with red-hot gold exploration stock opportunities. Text the word GOLD to 48542. Get front row access to market intelligence when you text the word GOLD to 48542 and to set your investment research strategy to hyper growth mode with your free subscription to the Gold Market Research Report. Text GOLD to 48542 and have this red hot intelligence delivered directly to your mobile device so you can make decisions as market conditions change. If you're interested in our hit list of the most promising gold exploration stocks, then text the word GOLD to 48542 and don't get left behind in 2021. Text GOLD to 48542.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
We're discovering another incredible window or portal area. Trey Hudson's with us. Trey, go ahead, please.
Absolutely. We were discussing, you know, the various team members disappearing from view as we were observing them with this FLIR equipment. To my knowledge, like I said, this is the only known footage of such an event. You know, it's absolutely, you know, amazing. So we were very excited that we, A, got to experience this, and B, that we actually, this time, were able to capture it on film. And so once the team disengaged themselves from that area and came back over to where we were all gathered, we were, you know, obviously very excited, you know, very ecstatic, and we started discussing, you know, what do we want to do? Do we want to continue to investigate, you know, tonight, you know, since we saw these two cases, two different instances of these strange 6-foot by 18-inch man-shaped, you know, heat signatures where we had no team members, and we had this strange portal or whatever you want to call it appearing and our team members walking into it. Do we want to continue investigating this, or do we want to go back to base camp, sit down and do a very detailed after-action review, an AAR/debrief, and film it while all of this is very fresh on our minds? And so we discussed this back and forth, and I made the command decision, we're going to go back and debrief. You know, I think it's that important that we, you know, recount all this stuff while it's still fresh. About the time we were getting ready to pack up our gear and start heading back, I received a radio transmission from our base camp operator. One of the things that we do is we always have a base camp operator that establishes network control, net control. All of our teams have radio, so we are in constant communication, so we always know where everybody is, we know what everybody's doing, and if there's an emergency, we know how to get to them. So my base camp operator, you know, comes on the radio and he says, Trey, there's somebody here that you need to talk to. And I'm like, okay, Glenn, you know, that's not a problem, Glenn. It was our base camp operator that evening. I said, I'll be there and talk to you in a moment. He goes, no, it's not me. You'll find out when you get here. My interest was certainly piqued and was wondering exactly what Glenn was referring to as we made the quarter-mile hike back to camp. Once we got to camp, I noticed that there was a woman in camp that wasn't with our group. And here we are in the wintertime in February, very cold in a very remote, desolate location. And much to my surprise, there was a businesswoman waiting for me. And this businesswoman was wearing loafers, slacks, a blouse, and a blazer in the middle of the woods, in the middle of nowhere, in the wintertime, 10:30 at night.
That's a little out of character or out of place, isn't it?
Just a wee bit. So to make it even stranger is this businesswoman wanted our entire team to stop what we were doing and follow her down this remote, deserted road in the nature preserve. And she claimed at the end of this road there was a structure, like a house or a barn. And it was a home to a family of creatures that she called monkey bears. Now, I don't know, you know, that means monkey business or gummy bears or monkey bears or, you know, whatever that is. She wanted us to see whatever these strange creatures were. Now, being a, you know, somewhat suspicious person, you know, by profession, I got a little concerned. Why is this woman wanting us to stop what we're doing and follow her to a very remote location and look for some sort of strange creature? You know, is she setting us up to be robbed? You know, we have very expensive equipment with us. Does she want to get the bulk of the team away so she can have somebody come in and steal our equipment left out of base camp? Something was very wrong about this whole situation, and something was very off about this woman. In addition to her wanting us to go to this remote road to explore heaven knows what with her, she started asking me about, you know, where did I attend university? And I replied, you know, I attended the University of West Georgia, you know, in Carrollton. And she said, oh, that's strange. I did too. And she said, well, what was your degree? What was your field of study? And I said, well, I, you know, earned a bachelor's degree in psychology and a minor in anthropology. And she says, oh, that's strange. I have a psychology degree from there also. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, she's, you know, obviously pulling my leg, you know, telling me what she thinks I want to hear. So I decided I would try to trip her up. And I said, really? I said, you know, that's a very well-respected, world-renowned psychology program. What are some of the professors you had there? And much to my surprise, she started naming off professors that I not only studied with, but I knew personally. And so here we have a businesswoman in the forest in the middle of the wintertime, 10:30 at night, you know, in business attire, once again, who went to the same university I did, has the same degree I do, and knows the same people I do. So things starting to get very weird, and I was getting a little kind of wigged out by all this because it just was so strange. And her demeanor was almost as though she was intoxicated. You know, things were very off. You know, she had at times problems being coherent. And the top everything off is while we were discussing things with her and trying to convince her to go on about her way, she stopped talking and she moved about 20 yards out from our campsite, still within the edge of our lantern light, and she squatted down and urinated in front of us.
Bet you didn't expect that.
Not in a million years. And we were finally able to convince her to move out, to go away. And it disturbed me so much that my friend Tim, who was the U.S. Army Ranger, I said, "Tim, do you have your sidearm on you?" And he said, "Yes, I do." I said, "Well, I do too." I said, "I am very uncomfortable with this whole situation. Let you and I move about 30 yards outside of camp and just do a perimeter circle around it to see if she left anybody behind." Because we didn't know what her goals were. You know, what was she trying to accomplish?
Oh, great. So now you guys are getting paranoid and you got guns on you. And you're out in the middle. Why are you guys doing this in the middle of the night? Have you ever done any daytime explorations of this? Like, did you go back during daylight to see if there was tracks or
try
to figure this out?
Absolutely.
Anyway, sorry for interrupting. You guys are going around to check the perimeter. Did you find anything?
We did not. You know, and, you know, just to give you an idea, both Tim and I are military. So, you know, we're familiar with firearms. It's not like a bunch of hillbillies out there with their shooting arms. You know, we just wanted to make sure that everything was safe. You know, that there were no unpleasant surprises because we were in a very remote area that doesn't even have cellular service. So everything seemed to be okay. And, you know, we turned in for the evening. And later on, I did some research about this woman. She did give her name. And a individual does exist with her name that matches, you know, the photographs I saw of this person match more or less the person that. And it matched an actual person, and I could never determine if it was a professional person having the absolute worst night of their life, or if it was somebody mimicking this person. But nevertheless, her activities and the way she appeared matches some of the reports that you hear of the legendary Men in Black.
You know what? We're hitting that score right now, the MIB. Trey, Gene, and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
DHS Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas announced Saturday that FEMA will begin to assist with housing the influx of unaccompanied minors at the southern border. In a statement, Mayorkas said that a Border Patrol facility is no place for a child and that FEMA would work to receive, shelter, and transfer unaccompanied minors until their immigration case can be processed. The Secretary's directive is for the next 90 days as border agencies deal with a record number of illegal border crossings, many of them being unaccompanied minors. Representative John Katko says adding those responsibilities to FEMA will take away resources from their vaccination efforts. The New York Republican tells Fox News that the order could impact many Americans.
That crisis was created by Biden's executive order. So there's no doubt the disorder at the border was by executive order, and now they're peeling away precious resources from FEMA. And American citizens who need to get have their vaccines and get the personal protective equipment and everything are maybe going to suffer because of a lack of attention.
This is USA Radio News. The FDA is warning of false positives with COVID testing.
The Food and Drug Administration issued the warning on Friday to facilities using Roche Diagnostics COBUS test. The system is widely used to screen large batches of test samples in hospitals and laboratories for both the coronavirus and flu. The agency warns that problems with the test's processing tubes could result in a false diagnosis and urge healthcare workers to run samples through multiple times to assure accuracy. From the USA Radio News Oregon Bureau, I'm Jeremy Scott.
And Italy is set to begin a new round of lockdowns a year after the coronavirus first hit the nation. The government says it's trying to contain a new surge in cases fueled by new, more contagious variants. On Saturday, the country recorded more than 26,000 new coronavirus cases. In half of Italy's 20 regions, new restrictions begin on Monday, with non-essential shops closed and people allowed to leave their homes only for work or health reasons. The entire country will go under those restrictions over the Easter weekend. This is USA Radio News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Marie D. Jones, the author of This Book Is From the Future, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So it was inevitable as we explored the South Skinwalker Ranch, the MIB would rear their ugly heads. Go ahead, Trey.
This woman had all of the attributes, or many of the attributes, that, you know, Nick Redfern and others talk about with the Men in Black. She was dressed inappropriately, you know, for the environment. You know, she was in the middle of the woods in the wintertime wearing business attire, you know, somewhat snappy loafers and a blazer. She was acting very irregular, like she didn't understand how people communicate, missing nonverbal cues, like, good night, you know, we'll talk to you later. She didn't pick up that we were trying to get her to go away. And then oftentimes the reports have them not understanding social niceties or the way people interact and the manners, i.e. you don't urinate in front of a bunch of strangers. That's just not something that you do. So either this was, like I said before, a professional licensed individual having the worst night of her life, or this was something mimicking an actual person. Either way, I decided not to pursue this woman because she would deny it either way. So that's just one of the very weird things that happened to us, you know, at the meadow, that we're just going to have to put a big question mark, and maybe we'll never know exactly what happened with the mysterious businesswoman of the forest.
Did you guys ask if she needed any help or anything, you know, like, or did she just seem to be more like she was in control of the situation?
She seemed very confident, didn't seem like she needed help. You know, it drove a vehicle over there or left in her vehicle, you know, didn't seem to be in distress, I guess is, you know, kind of the key to that. She didn't seem to be distressed. She just seemed very weird and off.
And she talks about these monkey bears. Now, a quick search, there's something called a skunk ape that is sometimes referred to as a monkey bear. And I don't know if you guys have heard of those, but it purportedly inhabits the forests and swamps of some southeastern United States, with Florida being the most common.
Right.
So, yeah, kind of interesting.
Yeah, yeah, and that was one of the things that we, you know, we wondered about is, you know, is she referring to some sort of Sasquatch-type creature, you know, that she has encountered. Why would they be living in an old structure? Now, we did go down the next day. We did go down this deserted road. You know, we were never able to find anything.
Did you notice any foul smells or anything like that?
No.
Okay. Apparently, these things smell pretty bad, which is...
Right. Nothing other than a bunch of people who had been out in the woods all weekend smelling, but, you know, I'm kidding. No, yeah. We didn't.
So, this is very intriguing. I'd like to go on with some more of the adventures, but let's talk a little bit about you and your group. Now, you're the director of the Oxford Paranormal Society and its Anomalous Studies and Observation Group, ASOG. Tell us a little bit about the group and how you got started and met the various people in it.
The Oxford Paranormal Society has been around since 2006. Once I became established in my career and my family was established, I started to feel the flicker once again of the interest in the paranormal. So the Oxford Paranormal Society was founded by three friends, and I sent them an email saying, you know, do you have an opening for another investigator? You know, here's my background. You know, I would be interested in joining the team. And for better or worse, they took me up on that offer, and I spent, you know, several years investigating with them. And like a lot of things, the founders, you know, started to become kind of burned out. You know, just kind of overwhelmed by years of, you know, trying to run a paranormal investigation group. So they decided to step back and offered me the directorship. We initially started investigating this region under the auspice of the Oxford Paranormal Society. And when we had all this very high strangeness starting to happen, we stepped back and said, you know, our protocols just are not robust enough to really address this. Also, that the kind of skill sets that you need to deal with this kind of stuff is a little bit beyond what you need to go investigate a haunted house. You know, you're not sitting in a pristine environment under a roof, you know, with the heater going. You know, this is very austere, remote area. So we created a division known as the Anomalous Studies and Observation Group. Most of the people in ASOG, like I said before, are either from the military, law enforcement. We've got some folks with a special operations background, intelligence, a lot of medical folks. So they're all very solid, educated, fact-driven folk. Very reliable, very, very credible. And that makes us really unique, in my opinion, that we can bring those skill sets and that degree of credibility to the situation and research it.
Well, you see what happens here. You jump in and you volunteer into one of these things. You're sucked in. Do you have a family? What's their reaction to your trip into the paranormal here?
My wife is one of ambivalence. She, you know, realized I was a bit eccentric when we got married, so she just sort of goes along with it. My eldest daughter is interested in it and has been on several standard paranormal-type investigations with us. My youngest daughter is cautiously aloof about it. She's currently in nursing school, so she's, you know, has her hands absolutely full with trying to get through the nursing program at university. They're supportive and are interested in what I do, but not necessarily involved with what I do.
So you guys went out in July of 2016 and again in February of 2017. So now we're in 2021. What have you guys been doing between 2017 and now?
Well, we went back in April of 2018, and something we try not to do is oversaturate this area with back-to-back investigations. Sometimes when you over-investigate somewhere, it'll peter out. The phenomena will start to dissipate. So we gave it a little bit of time between February and April of the next year. So we went back in April of 2018, about a year, and decided we were going to do something a little bit different. We're still trying to figure out exactly what is going on here. One of my team members had been doing a lot of research in that region, and part of his research is he was poring over a lot of aerial photographs. Now, he found a field very similar to the meadow, about 7 miles away. Very remote. You could only get to it by hiking in. And we thought it would be very interesting if we went and backpacked into this remote field and did research there to see if we had the same kind of phenomena going on there as we did back at the meadow, the primary meadow. So we spent about 7 miles and most of the day overland hiking, you know, to this remote meadow, and we got there.
and very similar to our primary meadow. It was very, very pristine, very bucolic, very nice. We were able to set up our camp, which consisted of several of us with hammocks and one individual with a tent. And we set up camp in a fire break. Now, a lot of times in forest, you know, heavily wooded forest, the Department of Natural Resources will go through and bulldoze or cut a fire break, which is about 10 feet wide of stripped of vegetation, so fires won't jump and burn up other parts of the forest. So the gentleman with a tent set up in the fire break, and we set up adjacent to it in our hammocks. Very quiet evening, didn't really encounter much until later that night. In the middle of the night, two of my members noticed a white beam of light shooting down the middle of the fire break. They said that this beam of light did not match the optical signatures, did not look like a headlamp or a flashlight. It was like a very intense beam down the middle of the fire break. And then it just winked out. One team member also noticed that he saw a glowing reddish-orange glow in the western sky in the morning. Now, obviously, it wasn't the sun because the sun doesn't rise in the west, but it was a very deep reddish glow before daylight. When we woke up the next day, we prepared our meals and started packing up our gear to return back to base or return to our extraction point where somebody would meet us and drive us back to base camp. One of my team members noticed something very unusual with his backpack, and this was the gentleman that had set up in the fire break. Before he had went to bed, he had set his backpack straight up on the fire break, resting on its hip belt by itself. When he woke up the next morning, there was a stick that had been intertwined underneath the left or right side of his backpack.
Let's do a break here. We'll continue with Trey, Gene, and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First game Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Power grid failures and natural disasters. They happen too often now. Will financial collapse be next? What kind of emergency plan do you have for the next sudden food shortage? If you don't, it's time to prepare. At MyPatriotSupply.com, we make it easy for you. Our emergency food storage kits stay fresh for up to 25 years. They ship fast and discreetly to your door. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.
We have all seen and perhaps used the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you ever noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? With bacteria and virus problems, sanitizers and hand washing are the first line of defense against infectious disease. GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements as set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration as a first aid antiseptic. When it comes to sanitizers, it only makes sense that it lasts till the next application and doesn't dry and crack your skin, inviting infection. For long-lasting, alcohol-free sanitizing, come to GCNteam.com, keyword antibacterial. That's GCNteam.com, antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203. 877-878-4203.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American-made with American ingredients, employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
Oh, this is fun. We're way out in the woods somewhere. A strange right. trip through... Maybe you're in another dimension. That's what's happening. You're splitting off into another dimension. Continue, Trey.
Well, you know, somebody said something about going on a 3-hour tour, and we all know how that ends. No, I'm kidding. You know, we were talking about my colleague's backpack. His name is Terry. He's with the group from Carolina that has been researching with us. He's an electrical engineer by trade. Once again, a very sober, you know, logic-minded individual. And he was telling us about what he found with his pack. Is he had a stick that was placed under the right-hand side hip belt on his pack as it rested on the ground and came across and was resting on the top of the left-hand side of the hip belt, like it had been woven through the hip belt. We looked for, you know, where could this stick or limb had come from. You know, it couldn't have fallen from a tree and worked itself up under one side of the backpack. That wouldn't make any sense. Did he set his backpack down and somehow got tangled up on it as he placed it on the ground? There were no corresponding trees or anything in this fire break. It was devoid of vegetation. It's almost like someone or something had purposely woven that stick under and over his hip belt to try to tell us something. Now, what exactly that message was, we don't know to this day, but it was very, very, very strange. So we gathered up our gear, packed up, radioed back to base camp and told them to meet us at an extraction point if they would send a vehicle to come get us. Which they did, and took us back to base camp. Well, we had several members of the team that did not go out on this hike. They stayed back at base camp and did their own research into the meadow. That Saturday morning, before we had returned, two team members, Chris and Daryl, had gone back out to the meadow, and they noticed something very odd while they were there. Is they noticed what looked like track marks from a vehicle. When I say track, I'm talking about like two parallel lines of compressed vegetation. The strange thing about this, it's almost as though something was dropped into the meadow, traveled a distance, and then was lifted out. And you had vegetation that was 12 to 18 inches high. So you had a very definitive start of this compression of the vegetation and then a definitive ending of it. They took a closer look. And it's worth noting that quite a few of the team members are trained in man tracking. So they know how to track people and things through the forest. So they got down and they looked at these track marks, which were about, you know, the 6 feet, you know, apart from one another, almost akin to an automobile or a vehicle. The grass was not crushed. It was bent over. There were small molehills and anthills and small saplings inside of these tracks that weren't compressed, that weren't disturbed. So what you're talking about is almost like two linear crop circle-like formations that begin, run a distance, and then stop.
like something that came down from the sky and then went along a little ways and then took off again.
Perhaps, or just something created these two linear anomalies, you know, from afar, you know, like crop circles, you know, something might not actually land there. It just creates this disturbance in the vegetation. So this, you know, this obviously was very interesting. So two more team members decided to go out later that afternoon with a full spectrum camera and photograph this area, because we had noticed from a photograph that we had taken the year before during the February outing, there was something that appeared to be a cryptid type creature in one of the photographs from 2017 watching us from the edge of the meadow during the daytime when we were out there exploring the meadow. So they were very interested to get back out there with their full spectrum camera and see what they could find. So they approached these anomalous tracks and are looking around, you know, through the viewfinder of the full spectrum camera. And near the end of these tracks, they start to notice another box had formed. You know, and this one was a bit smaller. It was about 3 meters by 3 meters by 3 meters. And so they see it through the viewfinder of their full spectrum camera. And they move to one side and it disappears. So they go back to their original location and there it is. And so they decided, well, we're going to take some photographs of this. And as soon as they went to take the photographs, they had realized they had forgot to put the SIM card in the camera. So that just goes to show you, even seasoned researchers sometimes pretty significant mistakes.
Almost every time you hear stories of people trying to use cameras in connection with paranormal research, the batteries don't work. Or like you say, the SIM card is forgotten. There's always something weird going on.
Oh, we have had so many, you know, equipment failures, you know, here as recently as, you know, within the past year. You know, I would have a GoPro that would work fine at base camp, would malfunction as soon as I got close to the meadow. It wouldn't work. And then when I would get back, it works fine. I've had a night vision camera do the same thing. It works fine at base camp, get out to the meadow, doesn't work at all. We've had expensive FLIR units get absolutely fried. We had about a $2,000 drone have one of its main circuitry cards get damaged. All kinds of weird stuff happens, you know, not only in this place, but in others.
Well, that kind of suggests some kind of EM interference, doesn't it? I mean, that's the only thing that can really do that. So, I mean, it sounds like we're dealing, well, I suppose nature can produce EM, but I mean, it sounds like it's interfering with technology.
Right. And that's a good point. One of the things that we do is we take baselines every time we go out, using primarily three things, RF, radio frequencies, EMF, and radiation. You know, these are three phenomenologies that we test, and we haven't seen any kinds of spikes in EM or RF, but we have seen spikes in radiation, which is very odd. And we've seen spikes in radiation at the same time that we've had some strange things happen.
Well, that's interesting, because spikes in radiation shouldn't really be spikes in radiation. That should be just sort of background. I mean, there could be an area that would have more radiation than others, but you could typically identify that. Right. Like if you were in a formation where there was uranium naturally occurring or something, it wouldn't just spike all of a sudden and then go away.
Right. Exactly. So, you know, what we're trying to do is focus on, you know, what's the phenomenology, you know, and if we can determine there's a particular phenomenology, not only can we validate maybe what's going on, but maybe we can predict it. You know, if we see one of these spikes, maybe it's indicative of something getting ready to happen. So, you know, we try to look at this not only from an experiential perspective, but also from a more empirical perspective. So, you know, we're trying to approach this, you know, from different ways to see what we can, you know, figure out, maybe determine what exactly is going on. So we did go back that evening, back to the meadow, and we had some things we captured on film, and one of them was a large hulking figure with very broad shoulders watching us from the tree line that was picked up on FLIR. And I have a photograph of that pulled off the FLIR footage in the book. So, you know, that was pretty much it for April 2018. We didn't really have anything else go on that time. a quiet rest of the evening, as you know, if we really needed anything else to go on. It was certainly strange enough from our perspective. And we returned back in November of 2019. So we're starting to become a little bit more contemporary now as we're moving forward in time. In 2019, we decided we were going to try something different. As I mentioned before, my background is as a paranormal investigator. But in the paranormal investigation world, we have something called ghost boxes. And I'm sure folks have probably seen those on the ghost TV shows. And, you know, there's always been a lot of controversy that people hear what they want to hear. You know, they want a response, so they hear some jumbled up sounds and they make it into the words that they want the response to be. So there's a protocol that was developed several years ago called the Estes Protocol. And what you do with the Estes Protocol is you take a ghost box, which jumps around the FM frequencies, and you plug a set of sound-canceling earbuds into it. And you have a person who acts as a receiver. They put these earbuds in their ears, and then over that, they put a set of shooting muffs, so they can't hear anything going on other than what's coming out of the ghost box. And they're also blindfolded. So they are acting as almost like as a human translator for whatever comes out of the ghost box. And their instructions are, whatever they hear, if it is an intelligible word, they are to repeat it. So if they hear rutabaga, they just say rutabaga when they hear it. They don't know what questions are being asked. They don't know, you know, what's going on in the environment around them. And they certainly don't know how their responses tie into anything else. So we did an Estes session at the Meadow.
We'll get into that session in our next segment with Trey, Gene, and Randall. The book is The Meadow Project, Explorations into the South Skinwalker Ranch. More to come with Gene and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.